So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and home shopping network, capital of the world, St. Petersburg.
I just know I'm not interested in you anymore.
Actually pretty funny.
Dull.
There was a story one time where she was
dull.
There's a thing that she used to do that was actually really, really
dull.
She's crazy. She'll ruin your life.
Our friend here has sort of an acute form of stasis.
She broke my heart, but she's still at it. She hasn't finished the job. She was breaking my heart.
Have to admit she's good looking.
No, I don't have to admit that.
Harmony and Me, Bob Byington's new film about a young man struggling to make sense of being dumped by his girlfriend, is being promoted as a slacker comedy. But the term that struck me, and it may be seriously dated, and maybe I am too, is sad sacker comedy. The character of Harmony, which is a man, not a woman, is played by Justin Rice. And he is so convincingly hapless as a rejected suitor that I wanted to send him over to my mother's house for a comforting bowl of chicken soup. A film like this succeeds, I think, when it absorbs you into the lead's muck and mire, and that Harmony and Me does. As for filmmaker Bob Byington, his film RSO, Registered Sex Offender, premiered at the South by Southwest Festival in 2008, and he was recently awarded the Stanley Kubrick Award for Bold and Innovative Filmmaking at the Traverse City Film Festival. Harmony and Me will have its opening night theatrical premiere at MoMA, Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan, on Friday, September 18th at 7 p.m. Bob Byington will introduce the film and then be joined for an onstage discussion afterward by the film's lead, Justin Rice. The film will then screen daily through Thursday, September 24th. Now, joining Bob Byington in this interview is Harmony and Me actress and producer Kristen Tucker. In the film, she plays Jessica, the woman who dumps Harmony and bursts his heart in a million billion pieces. I don't think that's her honking in the background either, setting the action in motion. Bob and Kristen, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, guys. Who's got the duck?
I got a cab out in front that keeps honking.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you both.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Bob, let me start with you. I'm almost afraid to ask what inspired Harmony and Me. I'm hoping it wasn't personal experience.
No, not so much. It was more like the world, like you say, the world of the movie has a type of, there's a tone to the world that sort of landed in my lap for a few weeks in early 2008, I guess it was. I guess it was 2007. I get entire years mixed up, unfortunately. And I don't know, we just sort of wrote some of this stuff down and got it into a script. Struck while the iron was hot, as they say. And then I found out really that we had, or I had written sort of a universal, that the theme of the script had a sort of universal quality. Sorry about that horn. So, yeah, that's kind of how the script came together.
Can we ever have enough comedic, dramatic stories about love and loss?
Well, we were going to say, Kristen is aware of this also, we're going to call this the last breakup movie you're ever going to see. And I think sort of, you know, we felt a little bit self-conscious, I think, and Kristen can talk about this, a little self-conscious, making a movie of this type, because it is the kind of movie that tends to get made these days.
Kristen, you want to address that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we definitely had to think about that, but I think what we tried to do was, as Bob was talking about, was create this world, and I think as soon as the movie begins, you're in this world of Harmony, and it's not so much the situation that he's going through, but more so, you know, a journey as a person. It could be any situation that he's just kind of stuck. And we try to make it more about that necessarily than it was about a breakup.
I have to say that having watched the movie, and I have a picture in front of me of the two of you together, you look way happier with Bob than you ever do in the movie with being around Harmony. Just an observation.
Well, Kristen was instructed that her character is never supposed to smile. Whenever I work with women, my only thing I ever tell them is not to smile. I don't have any other direction for actresses, really. There's our cab again. Car alarms following me everywhere I go in New York.
It's interesting. That noise must be coming from the last woman you gave any more directions to than not to smile.
Right.
I'm assuming you're somewhat kidding there. Kristen, you can correct me if not, but why even say that you give that little direction?
Why would I say that? Well, Kristen may have more insight into that than I do, since she was on the receiving end of that. I don't know.
That actually was a direction that you gave me in our last film, Registered Sex Offender, and I think that because I was newer to film, I think if Bob had given me a lot of direction, it probably would have been confusing. I don't know. Bob, you know, tends to give simple directions and let the actors kind of feel their way through a character. And that was one of the things that worked for the last film. My character was Tina, and she was, you know, kind of stern. You know, she kind of wore the pants in the relationship. She had this authority about her, and not smiling kind of added a lot to that in this strange way. So,
right.
I haven't had the opportunity to see Registered Sex Offender. I'm going to guess from the title that it's not a comedy.
Oh, it's a comedy. Yeah, it's all
really?
Jokes. Yeah. It's about a guy who gets out of prison and has to do a lot of things mandated by the courts, and it's a comedy about his reluctance to do those things.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that, so I don't know what to say to that. let me come back to poor Harmony. Harmony, the character, is miserable through pretty much the entire film. Were there scenes of even more sadness and depression that were left on the cutting room floor?
That's a great question. Kristen also tends to know that stuff in a way that's better than the way I know it. Kristen, do you remember any of those scenes?
Yeah, I don't think there were scenes where he was necessarily more miserable, but we did have some cutting to do. The script, you know, the movie definitely has a lot of characters, but the script had even more characters, and as we were making our way through the editing, we realized that, you know, we needed to stick to the story, and we did have to cut some of our favorite characters and our favorite ideas because they just weren't working for the film. So, yes, there were definitely scenes that we had to cut.
Right.
And where did you guys find Justin Rice?
I had seen Justin in a film that I'm quite fond of called Mutual Appreciation, and the man who made that is in RSO and plays the sex offender's one-on-one counselor. And I got to know this guy, Andrew Bajalski, who'd made Mutual Appreciation, and in the process started to feel like I was getting to know the protagonist in his film. And one thing led to another, and the script that I was writing ended up writing it for Justin. And then I sent it to him. The dates are pulling into focus a little bit. I sent Justin the script in August of 2007. I was confident that he wouldn't read it, and I was also confident that if he happened to read it, there was no way he would want to play this guy. He read it immediately and called me and said, yeah, let's do this. And so that gave us some momentum. He turns a lot of movies down. He's a musician. He doesn't really pursue acting. And so, yeah, when he signed on, we were finishing RSO, and we were starting Harmony sort of simultaneously, and as Kristen will tell you, we finished RSO and premiered it at South by Southwest in March of 2008, and I think a week later we started shooting Harmony, and I think Kristen was hospitalized, I think, for exhaustion. So anyway, Kristen worked really hard on both movies, so it's a tribute that she's still alive. her strength.
What does he do to you, Kristen?
I think it's the fact that I'm one of the people in the film that also has a full-time gig. So it was kind of that made everything so difficult. But it was definitely worth all of the energy and sacrifice working on these films.
So of course I have to ask, what is your day job?
I am a circuit designer. I work on a microprocessor.
Wow. I don't know. Now she's scaring me. She's beautiful.
She's
smart and works hard. I don't know.
It's terrifying. Believe me.
How did you two hook up in terms of working together?
Kristen came in to audition for a smaller role on RSO, and we ended up bumping her up to the girlfriend. She's so talented, and so she plays a truly hilarious character in RSO, a girl who waits for her man while he's in prison, but then won't sleep with him when he gets out. And so it's pretty funny. Her character is pretty funny in RSO.
Yeah, most guys don't have to go to prison for that. They just get married.
No, that's funny.
Sorry, if you're welcome to it. Kristen, what can you tell me about working with Bob?
Oh, it's been an incredible experience. Bob is one of the most intelligent people that I know. He's brilliant and he's unbelievably creative. And what has been so exciting about working with Bob is the fact that, I've been able to give creative input, especially in the editing process, which I find fascinating. It's really exciting for a film where there's a lot of freedom. Like when we would get on set, we would shoot the scripted material and then we would have room to play if any of us had, any impulses. And it's been a really incredible experience.
And how did you go from acting in the first film to acting and being a producer in the second film?
Well, I sort of came on as a co-producer in the first film, Registered Sex Offender, and they just happened one after the other, and it just sort of made sense, I guess.
Right, I can answer that also because Kristen's background as a circuit designer gives her a type of mentality that you won't see that often in independent film. She's got a problem-solving mentality that was a welcome addition to our team, and she truly doesn't really see very many problems that she doesn't feel like she can, pull apart and solve. So that was great.
So she kind of brings a real-world logic to the artsy-fartsy world of independent filmmaking?
Exactly. She has a much different way of thinking about things than you're going to run into that often, and that's really helped my work a lot. I don't know. We're sort of acting like, we won an Academy Award or something, too, and it's like, let's dial it back a little bit, if we could.
Just
getting a little bit self-congratulatory is all. I just wanted to take a breather from that.
In this interview, I hadn't noticed that. Really?
Really? Okay, good.
Okay. All right. All right.
I was blushing that Kristen said that I was brilliant. I got upset.
Oh, well, that was Kristen saying that. That wasn't, that wasn't me. I didn't say anything of the kind.
Okay.
And I certainly won't now because I don't want to, I don't want you to get upset. So, Kristen, in this film, Harmony and Me, you're the pivotal player in the action here, although you aren't on screen that long. Was this a fun role?
Yes, it was. And I kind of like that Bob kind of considered Jessica to be kind of a ghost. She would kind of appear every now and then, kind of just tying the story together. So it was fun to kind of have these scenes that were in different parts of the film and kind of pop in. And just kind of make things happen, I guess, keep the momentum going. It was working with Justin was fantastic. He's a wonderful person, but also just a lot of fun to act with. So, yeah, it was a very fun role.
I like the last scene that you do with him. I won't give it away near the end of the movie. You think one thing might happen, and then it's not that, and then, the way you walk out. It was just priceless. And Bob, I'm complimenting her, not you. So you know.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Don't take it the wrong way. What will it take, Kristen, for you to give up your day job and do this full time? I suspect you guys are probably going to work together again if you're not already.
Yeah. I think I'm definitely making my way towards working on film. It's definitely something I'm really passionate about. So I think, yeah, it's just a matter of time.
And Bob, now that I know that Registered Sex Offender, despite its title, it was a comedy. Of course, now I want to go out and see it. But what are you doing? What are you doing going forward?
There's our friend with the car alarm again. Well, since I got to New York, I've been followed the entire time by car alarms and car horns. So I don't hear it anymore.
Now, for someone to talk to you, you're not screaming comedy. You're very low key. You're very so. You know, does a comedy come from you in the writing process, or you know, do people hang out with you because you're a funny guy to be around? I'm just kind of curious.
That's a good question, and I don't know. Kristen has sort of watched us as we got more and more interested in comedy. I think Kristen, you came on board at a time when we started to get more and more interested in the laughs that RSO had to offer, and then we sort of continued to pursue that through Harmony. And I know that's where my curiosity lies. I have a curiosity about comedy, and I don't have the depth of curiosity towards some of the other things, you know, the other genres.
Do you, do you see yourself, or would you like to go from being, you know, having the words indie filmmaker ahead of your name in most descriptions to filmmaker? Would you like to make bigger, broader comedy? Do you want to stay in kind of this niche that you've created?
We're working on another project that's a little bit bigger, and I think we're taking baby steps. You know, the RSO budget was a smaller type budget, Harmony a little bit bigger, and we're moving toward a budget that's a little bit bigger with this next project. It's called Seven Chinese Brothers, and it's also comedic in tone.
Now, from that title, I was pretty sure it was going to be a comedy. I'm a little easier for me to guess at that one.
It does.
What is that one? Can you tell us a little bit about the plot?
I'm afraid if I do, it won't sound funny. Now you put me on the spot a little bit. How do I talk about this and make it sound funny?
Do you know Cantonese?
There aren't any Chinese people in it, unfortunately. The title comes from that REM song, Seven Chinese Brothers. I don't know if you remember that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about a guy trying to learn how to tell the truth with some fits and starts. And once he finally figures it out, we sort of trace him as he sort of makes his way, like telling the truth instead of lying all the time.
And are there any particular filmmakers whose work you admire in kind of the area that you're working in?
I admire Preston Sturges' work. He made a few films in the early 40s that, to me, were real milestones.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of some others. I can think of films that I like, and but then the filmmakers, they tend to go on and they make bigger films, and they're not as good, so... I don't know why that is. Do you know why that is?
You're asking me or Kristen?
Well, whoever wants to take the question, really. I mean,
I think what's great about having a smaller film is there's not a lot of people getting in the way between, you know, division and production, I guess. And it seems like on some of the bigger budget movies, it probably started out with this really incredible idea, and then there was just a lot of things going on to kind of, I don't know, take away from that idea. I don't know.
I agree with that.
I, being outside of the picture, I would suspect that's the case, that you go from you as writer-director and guiding each word to, you know, there's big comedies that's done by committee, and then,
yeah.
you know, you've got 8 writers who are getting a credit on it, plus the director, and maybe the directors have changed, and then you get the studio notes, and there's so many people contributing and watering it down. Common
yeah.
denominator, it's not, you know...
agree.
Anyway, yeah. Now, Harmony and Me has its theatrical premiere this Friday, but not at the AMC 100plex in Des Moines, but at the prestigious Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan. How does that make you guys feel?
I feel good. I love the. Yeah, I love. There it is again. I'm actually going outside to find out like who this person is who keeps doing this.
I feel like we're making a 30-minute Geico commercial, actually.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's you know, we're talking about a comedy. It's adding an interesting element.
Right.
Who could possibly know that you're doing an online radio interview at the time?
I don't think she knows. I've got her in my sights. And when she honks again, I'm going to get in the car with her.
All happening here live, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. But yeah, we love the MoMA. They saw the film for a series that they do every year called New Directors, New Films, and they liked it enough to program it. We were the only American premiere that they showed. They show movies all over the world. And they brought us back for a week here in September, so it's thrilling.
Yeah, we're thrilled.
It's not like the studio films are announcing that they're opening at MoMA. You know, it really says something different about what you guys have accomplished, I think.
Well, we hope it's entertaining. I mean, there is a connotation, because it's at a museum, the connotation is that it's, you know, more art than entertainment, and we really do strive to entertain the audience. So.
Well, it's a very entertaining film. I don't think anyone should have any doubt about that. And I want to let everybody know again that Harmony and Me will have its opening night theatrical premiere at MoMA, Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan, on Friday, September 18th, 7 p.m. And Bob Byington will introduce the film, and then I guess you'll be joined on stage afterward by Justin Rice, who plays Harmony.
Yeah, and Kristen's going to come up also and smile and answer a few questions.
Take the pressure off of you guys.
Right. I was going to say, too, if people want to find out more about the movie, we have a kick-in website, harmonythemovie.com, and there's a lot of info there.
That was actually the very next words from my lips. I was going to say, and I'll go ahead and repeat it anyway because it bears repeating, if you're not in Manhattan, you can learn about the film's distribution or order an advanced copy of the DVD at www.harmonythemovie.com. That's Harmony the Movie, solid, all one word. And you can also become a fan of the film on Facebook or follow its tweets on Twitter. And Bob and Kristen, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today, and good luck to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, sorry again about the noise. I wish I had more control over that.
I wouldn't sweat it. I think when you go back and listen, you'll find it was kind of entertaining, actually, in a weird way.
All right.
Good luck to both of you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And folks, for more interviews with your favorite independent film directors, writers, and producers, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the men and women behind For Love and Stacy, Obsessed, Dog Days of Summer, The Singing Revolution, Steam, Little Chicago, Election Day, In the Shadow of the Moon, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlam, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us.